In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Epiphany refers not just to the feast of last Sunday when we celebrated the arrival of the wise men with their gifts. Epiphany is the name of a season in the church's year, and it continues right up to the feast of the presentation of Christ in the temple, which falls on the 2nd of February. And the word epiphany means literally showing. Roman emperors and medieval monarchs would travel about their dominions and show themselves dressed in their royal robes to their people. And they had to do this to show the people who was the boss. The gospel readings for the Sundays of Epiphany also contain a series of showings. They show us who this Jesus is, whose birth we celebrated just a couple of weeks ago. Today, on the bank of the River Jordan, he is among his people. But how different this is from the "here I am, look at me" appearances of emperors and kings. On the riverbank, Jesus is among his people as one of us. How different too from John the Baptist. John's message to the people who had come out to hear him was a message of terror, real hellfire and brimstone stuff. Undoubtedly, there are times when we need to hear this and be made to realize where we have gone wrong. But in itself, it is not good news. The good news is that Jesus was standing among the crowd. He was there in amongst them, waiting his turn to be baptized. We don't know why people came from all over the place to hear John the Baptist, but he'd obviously made quite an impression, a sort of Billy Graham figure perhaps. And his preaching was turning people to God in great numbers. Was that what convinced Jesus that his hour had come? Jesus would have been about 30 years old by this time. And from the time of his birth until then, we know absolutely nothing about his life, apart from those 3 days in Jerusalem when the 12-year-old boy gave his parents a real fright when he stayed behind to debate with the elders in the temple. We assume he had spent those years in the carpenter's workshop, coming to terms with and working out his calling. And then at the River Jordan, with the appearance of the dove and the voice from heaven, his calling is confirmed. This is his epiphany moment. It is an epiphany moment for us too. Whenever there is a movement towards God, Jesus is there amongst us. Later, he was to say, of course, "When two or three are gathered in my name, I am there with them. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you." As he stands there with the crowd, he's showing us that God is not a remote emperor who turns up occasionally and throws his weight around. He is the one who comes alongside us, knows our needs, and loves us in spite of all our faults. St. Luke tells us that John proclaimed a baptism of repentance. But in the creeds we say, we acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. Not just repentance, but forgiveness too. And that is the good news. There is a two-way process going on. Repentance, what we do, and forgiveness, what God is doing. And this is graphically illustrated, this is the way these two are joined together, graphically illustrated in this scene at the bank of the River Jordan, with Jesus coming up out of the water and the Spirit descending and then joining together. And it's interesting that Luke tells us in chapter 21 that all the people were baptized first before the Holy Spirit appeared. The people and Jesus are all involved in this together. And so too in our liturgy, we gather and affirm our repentance. Then, after we have heard the good news of God's love and his presence with us, the Holy Spirit comes down upon our offering of bread and wine, and the epiphany moment happens. This is my beloved Son. So at the River Jordan, and also when we gather, Jesus is there. He takes his place amongst us sinful humans. He becomes one with us, so that we may become one with him. Amen.